Hello, and welcome to another Apple Viz podcast.
Hi, this is Alex Hull, and this podcast is about chess on the Mac. I know a lot of people use chess apps on iOS devices, but not everyone knows that the Mac actually comes with a fully featured chess app, which is also fully accessible. And it even includes a couple extra features that are quite handy for visually impaired users. I'm going to assume that you know the very basics of chess, at least, so I'm not going to explain the game itself. I'm just going to go over how VoiceOver works with the chess app. I'll switch right over to it, but of course you can launch it in the usual way. It lives right in your applications folder.
Chess.
All right now I've got no windows open. Chess games are documents, basically, so you can create a new one. You can have multiple ones going at once. You can save them, open them later, all of that stuff. So the basic way to open a new chess game is, as usual in the Mac, Command N for new.
New ellipsis, window, interact with dialogue, 4, window.
All right, there are several options here that it's going to present, and we'll go through each one of those.
Variant colon, regular, pop-up button.
And that's the game type. You've got regular, you've got...
Menu checkmark regular, play so regular chess.
Regular, of course, is just the standard game of chess. You've also got...
Crazy House. Play Crazy House chess colon, captured pieces change colors and maybe drop back onto the board. Suicide. Play Suicide chess colon, win by losing all of your pieces. Losers. Play Losers chess colon, win by losing all your pieces except the king. Checkmark regular. Play regular chess.
We're gonna stick to regular for now, but those are the different options.
Regular, pop-up button. Players colon, human versus computer, pop-up button.
And again, you've got different options here, but I'll just let it explain each one.
Menu checkmark human versus computer, computer versus human. Play the black pieces against the computer.
So by default, you're going to be white. This second option here lets you be black.
Computer versus computer. Watch the computer play itself.
The really neat part about that is if you configure things right, which we'll go over in a few minutes, you can actually hear each move as it's spoken. So one voice will say what the white pieces are doing, and another voice will say what the black pieces are doing. It's a good way to sort of learn the game and watch it in action, as it were.
Game center match.
And of course, that's just the game center. I don't have any game center friends at the moment, so I haven't challenged anyone, but that's perfectly doable if you want to, and if you have people that you can challenge to a game of chess.
Human versus human. Play against a friend or against yourself.
And of course, that one, no computer interaction at all. You just take turns on the same computer.
Checkmark human versus computer.
But let's do human this one. Next option.
Computer thinks 2 seconds per move.
And that's not an option, that's just letting you know. The actual option is over here.
36.4%, slider. Select the speed and skill level of the computer.
So not terribly helpful as a percentage there, but it gives you an idea. Of course, to change the slider, you interact.
Interact with slider.
And then VO up.
45.5%. 54.5%.
Or VO down.
45.5%. 36.4%.
Let's leave it on 2 seconds for now.
Stop interacting with...
So you can make that easier or harder. The higher up you go, the harder it is, and the longer the computer has to think between each move.
Faster. Stronger. Cancel button. Start default button. Prep board group.
Now the board group is where the board is. There are a few other things in the window.
Full screen button. Document actions menu button. Alex Hull dash computer left paren new game right paren. Zoom button.
So pretty standard stuff. Let's go to the game.
Board group.
The board here. Interact with the board group.
Interact with board group. 64 items black rook. A button.
Here we go. Here's the really accessible part of all this. Each square is announced by what game piece it holds and what color that piece is and then what the coordinates are. So if I VO right.
Black knight. B8 button.
And if I VO down.
Black pawn. B7 button.
Let's get to my pieces here. Let's go to the bottom of the current thing with a VO function right arrow, or VO end if you're on a full-sized keyboard.
White rook, H1 button.
All right, so there's H1. There are my pieces here.
White pawn, H2 button.
And again, I have no idea what I'm doing, really, but let's move this pawn 2 spaces forward. So I'll hit VO space on it to select it.
Select white pawn, H2 button.
And then I'll move my 2 spaces forward, just VO up arrow twice.
H3 button, H4 button.
And VO space again to tell it that I want the selected piece to move to that square.
Select H4 button.
Pawn E7 to E5.
A couple things happened there, and that's why I waited. First of all, the pawn moved, obviously, my pawn. if it had been an illegal move, if I'd gone, you know, three spaces, or if I'd gone to a different column, then I would have gotten a little error tone and nothing would have happened. By the way, if you make an invalid move like that, you have to go back and select your piece again. It's not like you can just move to the square that you wanted and then select it. You have to go back, select the piece, and then select the destination a second time. The next thing is the really cool part that I absolutely love. The computer made its move, and then it spoke the move that it had made, so I can actually tell what happened, where it went. If I go over here to the E column,
G4FE4 button,
and I go up with a VO up arrow,
black pawn, E5 button.
There's that black pawn it was talking about. And over here,
E7 button.
E7 is empty because the pawn moved. So it's exactly what it said. Pawn E7 to E5.
E6 button, black pawn, E5 button.
Right there. Now, as I said, I'm terrible at chess. I really am. So if I want to know what I should do next, I can ask the computer for help. If you go up to the menu.
Menu bar, apple, chess, game.
Go to the right.
Edit. Moves.
Go to the moves menu.
Moves menu. Take back move. Take back your last move and your opponent's response.
Take it back if you want to.
Show hint command, right bracket.
Show
Suggest
hint.
Suggest a move to play.
That is really useful, and I'll tell you why. Visually, an arrow is going to appear on the board, which doesn't do us any good, but...
I would suggest pawn e2 to e4.
Black pawn, e5 button, show hint.
Pretty cool there. Another voice told me what it would do. And, of course, it's moving one of my pawns to counter the black one. So a couple other ways to get around the board before we go into the preferences and set up all the speech stuff. Quick nav is probably one of the easiest ways.
Quick nav on.
And that's left and right arrows together. And make sure your rotor is set to navigation. It should be by default, but just to be on the safe side, hit up and left or up and right until you hear navigation.
Words. Navigation.
Okay, we're on navigation. Left or right?
F5 button. G5 button. F5 button.
Of course, move by column, but now up or down will move by row.
F4 button. F3 button. White pawn. F2 button. White pawn. E2 button.
There's my E2 pawn. Now instead of having to hit VO space on it, though, I can just move it by hitting up and down arrows together.
Select white pawn, E2 button.
And move up with the up arrow.
E3 button, E4 button.
And up and down together again where I want the pawn to go.
Select E4 button.
And it moved because I didn't hear the arrow tone.
Now the Knight G8 to F6.
There's the computer's move. G8 to F6, and again, if I don't know what I can do, I can hit command right bracket.
I would suggest knight g1 to f3.
Show
I
hint.
Can do that. And voiceover saying show hint because I'm using the command right bracket shortcut. And by default, voiceover is always going to say the menu item that's bound to whatever keystroke I pressed. Let's move the knight, but let's go ahead and do it the third way that you can, which is using the trackpad commander. I'll enable that by holding down the VO keys and rotating two fingers on the trackpad clockwise.
Trackpad commander on.
Flicking right.
F4 button. White pawn. E4 button.
Or left moves me back and forth and make sure my rotor is set.
Words. Navigation.
So flicking up.
Black pawn. E5 button. E6 button.
Or down.
Black pawn. White pawn. E4 button.
Same idea as the arrow keys. And of course I can double tap to move anything I want to. And the other neat thing about having this on is that I can now touch it just like I could on an iOS device. I'll put my finger kind of in the middle here and just see where I land.
E7 button.
I want E7.
Black pawn, F7 button. Black pawn, G7 button. G6 button, F4 button.
Okay, and I'm just moving my finger around the trackpad. The squares are a little bit small, but it's definitely
F5
doable.
Button.
I don't think it's any different really than on an iOS device. An iPad might be more convenient than this, but this is probably about the same size as you'd get on an iPhone or an iPod. And of course, again, you can double tap to select and double tap again to drop the piece wherever you want it. But the really nice thing here is that you can conceptualize the board a little bit easier just by moving your finger around and hearing what's where. Quick tip, by the way, I usually have an actual physical board in front of me when I do this, just so that I can mirror what the computer is doing, what I'm doing. That way I've got a physical representation. I find it a lot easier to just keep track that way. You don't have to, obviously, but I just thought I'd mention it in case it makes your life easier. So now that we've gone over all the different ways to get around the board, let's go ahead and go into the preferences and set up all that speech stuff that makes it so accessible and so easy to use. First of all, I will turn these off because I never use them.
Trackpad commander, quick nav off.
Normally, chess is the main place I actually use these. So, command comma, as always, for preferences.
Preferences ellipsis, interact with dialogue, 4.
All right, and I just hit control to stop it. Ironically enough, preferences is one of the least, not least accessible, but least easy to use, I guess, areas of this application. And you'll see what I mean when I go through it.
Style, board.
So the first couple are just little headers. Board, you can select.
Wood, board pop-up button.
What visual style you want. I always leave it on default because I don't care. But if you're low vision, then there might be one that's better suited to you. So go ahead and have a look through there, see if maybe one's easier for you to see.
Allow player to speak moves, checkbox. Use speech recognition to listen for spoken moves.
I've got that checked, but I can never get it to work. The help file says to hold down the command key and speak your move, but it doesn't seem to work for me for some reason, so I didn't bother demoing it here. I've gotten it to work in the past, but not reliably enough to put in a podcast.
Pieces. Wood. Pieces pop-up button.
And again, you might want to play with those in case one offers a higher contrast.
Speak computer moves. Checkbox. Speak the moves played by your opponent.
And again, that's what enables the computer to tell me what it did. So make sure that is checked.
Speak human moves. Uncheck checkbox. Speak the moves played by the human player.
And that is not... I don't have that on. You might want to, but I tend to leave it off because I know where I moved it to, so I don't need to hear it again. But the option is there.
Computer thinks 2 seconds per move.
And as when we were creating the new game, that's not actually a setting, that's just tied to a slider that we'll encounter in a minute.
Primary voice. Default voice. Primary voice pop-up button.
All right, default voice is whatever default voice is set in your system preferences. In my case, that's Alex. But it's a pop-up button, so you could choose any voice you wanted. Let's keep going to the right.
36.4% slider. Select the speed and skill level of the computer.
And there's the slider for the skill level, so I don't know why it's the skill level, the voice, then the skill level slider. But again, that's part of why I said this preferences window doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And as before, you could interact and move that slider around if you wanted to. I'm going to leave it on 2 seconds, though.
Alternate voice. Oliver, alternate voice pop-up button.
The alternate voice is what speaks the hints that it offers you, and if you have a computer-on-computer game, it also speaks the other moves. So make sure that these two voices are different, because it just helps to differentiate things. And again, if you use a computer-on-computer setting, then you'll have two different voices, so you can more easily keep track of which moves are being played by which color.
Faster. Stronger.
Those are little labels that are, again, tied to the slider.
Cancel button. Okay. Default button.
And that's it. So we'll hit OK.
Board group.
And we're back on our board group. Now don't forget to interact with that board group, otherwise you will never be able to find your board. But once you do, once you're in there, that's when you can use the quick nav and the trackpad commander to really quickly and easily move around. And that is chess. Of course, there are some things in the menus that you can look through. Ways to save your game and a few other things. You can look at the game log. You can go to the help menu and get the help file for chess. But all of those are very basic and aren't specific to chess. There are no specific commands or anything that this has that no other application has. So I won't go through everything in the menus. Mostly I just wanted to show you how to get around on the chess board and how to make your chess game speak the computer's moves, which again is very helpful because you can automatically know what was changed instead of having to go look for yourself each time. So hopefully this was of some value, and I will see you next time.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Apple This. For more information and resources to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit the Apple This website at www.applethis.com, where you can also contact the Apple This team.